Lisa to present them, please. Thank you. So this application relates to land adjacent to the junction of High Street and Riversfield Drive in Roaster. The proposal is for the erection of a part single and part two-storey building to incorporate a Class E retail unit along with car parking, new vehicle access, servicing arrangements and landscaping. This plan indicates the site edged in black with the access onto Riversfield Drive. The road that crosses from east to west on the plan is High Street. It's within the Roaster Conservation Area, which is shown in the pink, with listed buildings indicated in green, and the settlement boundary is shown with the red line to the top of the plan. That's just a slightly more zoomed out detail to show that the Roaster Conservation Area is actually split into two, so this falls within the western area. And that's aerial view just to indicate similar, so you get a better view of the area. And this drawing shows the application site edged in black to give members an indication of the access point in relation to High Street across the top of the plan and Riversfield Drive here, with neighbouring property on the opposite side of Riversfield Drive who have an access point slightly further forward than the proposed unit. The proposed site layout plan indicates the access from Riversfield Drive, parking in this area here, and the building proposed to be situated to the eastern side of the plot. The building would be two-storey to the front with a single-storey element to the rear. And members did ask for the setback from the road at the site meeting earlier, and that's 2.4 metres, so that's from this wall here to the front wall of the actual building here. The floor layouts indicate the retail space at ground floor. This is the ground floor plan. Retail space is in the orange. There's a lobby with circulation space beyond it for deliveries to be taken. And above that, the first floor level in the blue is the storage area. A flat roof is proposed to the rear of the building, and that's designed in such a way to accommodate plant equipment and screen that from view. The elevations here indicate the side faces onto Riversfield Drive with the shop fronts in it, but from the High Street you would see this elevation, which would appear similar to three terraced properties. The side elevation, which goes along the track next to between number 50 High Street and the application site, would be blank. There's some window details proposed, but they are blanked off windows. And this is the rear elevation to Riversfield House, which is situated to the rear. So this is a proposed street scene for the High Street, existing at the top and proposed beneath it. That indicates the listed building to the side and the gap between the proposed building and that listed building. This is the Riversfield Drive street scene. This shows the opening for the access in this area here. And that's just a slightly more zoomed in picture of the wall alterations along the High Street. They're similar to the Riversfield Drive area as well, where the vehicle access is proposed. There's just the dotted red line shows a section of wall to be removed. This drawing indicates the existing trees within the site, so there are quite a few. The green trees are indicated as high quality. And the following plan indicates the trees to be retained within the site, so one of those green high-quality trees is to be retained. It is noted that the canopy of that falls in the application site, but the trunk is actually outside of the application site. And this is the proposed landscaping plan. I have got details of the trees that are proposed in the landscaping plan, which are heavy standard size 12 to 14 centimetres in girth. So they'd be a reasonable size, and they would grow to approximately 3 metres high for different species within the site. They've been chosen because none of the trees are too overly large for the site. And they are also chosen because of their the way that they can improve the biodiversity, and they're linked to the biodiversity metric that was submitted with the application. So these are following are a series of photographs of the application site. So that's the frontage. Unfortunately, during the site visit today, this was covered with workmen, so we couldn't see the entirety of the wall. But that's the site frontage on the high street with the bus stop at the front and the listed building to the back there. And that's just a view along Riversfield Drive showing the wall, which finishes approximately here where it becomes Riversfield House at the back. And that's a view along the opposite side of Riversfield Drive where there's a property opposite where the proposed entrance is proposed. This is looking back down the high street in the opposite direction, so towards the Methodist Church and towards Riversfield Drive, which is here. And that's a view of the listed building at number 50 High Street. And a view down the track that we looked at earlier today. I was also asked on site in terms of the heights of the buildings, and the building proposed is 9.1 metres in height. Number 50 is 6.4 metres approximately, and the building to beyond that is 8.4. The taller building I understand to be 8.6 metres in height, which is the tallest one we looked at on site, which was a little way further up the high street. So that just looks into the site from the high street view. And that's just a view of Riversfield House, which is to the rear of the application site beyond the laurel hedge. And that's into the site from the opposite side of High Street to give a view of the what members can see of Riversfield House, which is that roof area there. And these photos are just looking from within the site. It's not easy to see where they are because of the boundaries being quite overgrown. So that one looks towards Riversfield Drive. This is towards the Methodist Church on High Street. This is looking towards High Street, and you can just make out the listed building detail beyond the trees here. And they are just within the site looking towards Riversfield House. In terms of consultations, the Campaign to Protect Rural England have objected on the grounds of the impact on the conservation area and listed building, the impact on the existing shops in the village, and the removal of the trees within the site. There are no objections from the Highway Authority subject to conditions. They relate to access parking and turning areas being provided and drained, visibility displays being kept clear from obstruction. A further condition was recommended in respect of deliveries outside of opening hours. However, there was a conflict with that in terms of the environmental health comments to do with neighbours' amenity from noise and disturbance. And therefore an alternative condition has been added in terms of a car park and delivery management plan for the car park area. The environmental health team have raised no objections subject to conditions. Those conditions being hours of deliveries, details of plant equipment to be installed, construction hours and the control of noise and dust during any construction works. In terms of ecology, there's no objection from either Staffs County Council Ecology or the Newt Officer, subject to conditions and a Section 106 agreement. So the Section 106 agreement would agree off-site habitat improvements, which would provide a 0.5 habitat unit And the conditions proposed are in relation to a lighting design strategy, and that the works are taken out in accordance with the precautionary method of working that's contained within the preliminary ecological appraisal. The ESVC tree officer has raised no objections, and Severn Trent Water haven't objected, subject to a condition to secure drainage. The lead local flood authority have not commented on the application on due to the minor scale of it, and Historic England have raised no comments and deferred this to our conservation officer. Our conservation officer has no objection, subject to conditions in respect of materials of the building, window details and shop front profiles, and has stated that the level of harm is outweighed by the wider public benefits of the scheme. In terms of representations received, Roaster Parish Council have objected on the following grounds. That's the scope of the Class E use proposed, which I would just point out that can include things including shops, financial and professional services, cafes, restaurants, offices, clinics and health centres, gymnasiums. Highways issues, including delivery vehicles accessing the site, manoeuvring and turning, amount of parking spaces proposed, and the impact on parking situation on an overcrowded road was also raised. The impact on established shops within the village, noise pollution from refrigeration units, and the impact of deliveries on neighbouring properties. Light pollution from any external lighting was raised, along with loss of green space and habitat, and the impact to heritage assets. However, they have requested conditions, should the application be approved, in respect of a restriction to the Class E use proposed, a length restriction to vehicles entering the site, no work to take place until parking restrictions are in place on Riversfield Drive, delivery times to be restricted, and porous materials to be used within the site to prevent flooding. In terms of ward member involvement, Councillor Sankey has raised concerns in relation to the Class E use, which covers a wide range of uses, and requested this be scoped down to a subclass within that use class. Concerns were also raised in relation to traffic, parking and impacts on highway safety. 34 neighbour representations were received, 32 of which were objections. These are summarised below under the following heading. So in relation to the principle of development, it was the objection was that there was the need for a shop and the impact on the existing businesses, and the proposal on previously undeveloped land and green space. The impact to visual amenities proposal is not considered appropriate for location. The modern shop will clash with the Memorial Garden Methodist Church and listed Rose Cottage at number 50 High Street, and the view of Riversfield House being lost and the impact of the conservation area. The objections to residential amenity were noise impacts from proposed plant equipment and day-to-day noise of the proposed use, impact of lighting, loss of sunlight to number 50 High Street, disruption to residents during construction, and the impact of the care home which occupies Riversfield House to the rear. In terms of highways objections, safety of the access next to the High Street Riversfield Drive junction and close to the access of a dwelling. There's already frequent traffic delays in the area, and the removal of the boundary wall would encourage indiscriminate parking. Traffic and parking in the village is already difficult, with traffic from JCB, JCB Academy, the schools and Alton Towers, and it would be difficult for delivery vehicles to turn within the site, along with the impact of the bus stop. Heritage impacts were also raised. Adverse impact to the setting of the listed building. The site identified as a positive area of open space within the Roaster Conservation Area, and the proposal would not outweigh harm to heritage assets. In terms of impact to trees and biodiversity, objections were raised relating to the removal of the trees within the site having a negative impact, the loss of this green space and loss of habitat. And other matters were raised in terms of the proposal bringing no added value to the area, increased air pollution and the Class E designation giving insufficient control over the use. Two letters of support were also submitted, and these were in relation to the proposal being considered appropriate for the increasing size of the village, the design being well thought out and sympathetic to the visual amenities of the area, the opening and delivery times being reasonable, and noise impact assessments having been carried out. And in terms of highways, the access and parking arrangements stopping inconsiderate parking, the position of the store reducing traffic at the narrower point of High Street further up where the existing shops are located, and the risk to pedestrians being reduced. And that's in accordance with the ESBC local plan, the ESBC design guide, separation distances and amenity SPD, parking space, SPD and the MPPF. In terms of the assessment, in principle, the development is considered to be acceptable. The site is designated as a rural centre within the defined settlement boundary of a Tier 1 strategic village. The retail unit would provide a service function to the local community in an appropriate, sustainable location for service users, and on balance offers a suitable form of sustainable development. In relation to design and impact on the character of the area, the proposal has been sensitively designed to complement the character of the surrounding area, with the shopfront facing into the proposed car parking area. The development offers a suitable siting, scale, massing and design for its setting that will not harm the character and appearance of the area. In relation to amenity, there are acceptable separation distances from existing dwellings. The height of the proposed building drops the single storey to the rear and will not be overbearing or cause significant loss of light or privacy to neighbouring properties. And subject to conditions in relation to noise, the proposal will not result in any significant impact on existing occupiers. The development raises no adverse highway safety issues, subject to conditions in respect to visibility and provision of access, parking and turning areas. In relation to the historic environment, the development has been designed to accommodate the retail shop, plant equipment, parking and access while being mindful of the relationship with the heritage assets and views through the conservation area. The harm to the heritage assets is considered to be less than substantial and would be outweighed by the wider public benefits of the proposal. The site is located within flood zones 1 and 2, which are at the lowest and at medium risk of flooding. The proposed building would be situated in flood zone 1 at the lowest risk, with the part of the car park being situated in flood zone 2. The site is categorised as a less vulnerable use in flood risk terms, and the flood risk assessment submitted indicates that there will be no significant impact on flood risk. Along with that, Severn Trent have no objections to the proposal subject to a drainage condition. There is therefore considered to be no significant adverse impact in terms of flooding and drainage. ESBC Environmental Health Team have raised no objections to the proposal subject to conditions, as mentioned before, related to construction hours, control of noise and dust, and there was also hours of deliveries and the details of the plant equipment for the roof space. In terms of biodiversity and trees, the site is of moderate ecological value with low suitability for protected species. Landscaping is proposed within the site, and a section 106 would secure an off-site arrangement for half a habitat unit in order to provide a net gain. Of the 14 trees and two groups which were surveyed, 12 trees and one group were proposed to be felled, including one high-value tree which is situated where the access to the site is proposed. The section 106 to provide habitats would include tree planting to mitigate that loss. Subject to the appropriate conditions in section 106, there is considered to be no significant adverse impact to protected species and trees. In conclusion, the proposal complies with the local plan, East Staffordshire Design Guide, separation distances and amenity SPD, the objectives of the parking standards SPD and the National Planning Policy Framework. The local authority have worked proactively with the applicant to secure a development that improves the economic, social and environmental conditions of the area in accordance with the MPPF, and the recommendation is to approve with conditions as per the report and the update sheet. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa, for the report. Okay, once again we go to the public speaking part, and I would like to first call Mrs. Nicola Pierce-Charler. I gave it a go. Good afternoon. So, middle button, it will go red, and you have 3 minutes when you're ready.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking the time to hear my observations. Firstly, noise and disturbance. The ESBC environmental health response concludes no objection, but only on a condition which you are aware of that conflicts with environmental health. The report also clearly states that the noise of the plant on the roof has not yet been assessed, nor can it be. How can a rational conclusion about noise pollution be made when the noise levels are unknown? Secondly, ecology and conservation. The report recognises there will be a net loss of 0.5 biodiversity unit. While small, every loss is significant. The report says to achieve no net loss in line with the MPPF will be difficult. Surely you would agree difficult does not equate to do not try, especially as the Council declared a climate emergency in August 2020 with a pledge including a focus on protecting and enhancing our environment. I would suggest that you recognise any net loss of biodiversity is not acceptable, as demonstrated by the expectation that during this year, planning consents for any new development will require a 10% increase in biodiversity value. Finally, highway safety and traffic. Despite parking provision being insufficient, as stated in the report by the head of service, the lead comment from SCC Highways is no objection. Your own policy states there should be 31 spaces and only 14 are planned for. It is likely that this will have a significant impact on road safety and that your report indicates that the site is too small for the proposed development and at least deserves further investigation. This also has implications to the Class E application, which would permit a wide range of activities whose parking requirements may be even greater. SCC Highways recommend a condition to deliveries because the area is too small to accommodate the manoeuvring of service vehicles while the car park is in use. Even if deliveries are made out of hours or there is a parking plan in place, how can assurances be made that vehicles will not have to reverse onto the Rivers Home driveway? In my opinion, reversing vehicles onto Rivers Home Drive will be inevitable, so impacting on safety. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. I would like to call next Mr. Hardik Marley, please. Good afternoon. So, again, when you're ready, press the button. When it's gone red, it's good to go. No, just press it once. There you go.
My concerns are just about the entrance point on the junction for the High Street and Riversville Drive, because during the day, it's a busy road with car parks, cars parked all the way down the High Street and also on Riversville Drive. If they're proposing, I think they said, a 10-foot lorry to actually turn into access, I'm not sure how that vehicle will actually come off the High Street, either of the two ways, onto Riversville Drive into the actual entrance, what they're proposing, with cars that are parked on Riversville Drive. All it will do is, if they put the entrance where it was, most of the cars will just park further down the road, which will cause more traffic down the bottom of Riversville Drive, which is where I live. Plus the car park, if it does get full at certain times of the day, i.e. when JCB dinner rush, most of the cars will then just park on the main High Street or Riversville Drive, which will cause more traffic. Plus there's a bus stop just on the same junction on the High Street, which you get a collection and a drop-off for Thomas Lane schools in Uttoxeter. You've also got the nursery, which is just over the road from the school. So when my youngest, when I take him to the nursery, I have to cross that Riversville Road. If they're putting an entrance there, which then makes it my responsibility to obviously look before I'm crossing the road to take him to nursery, my oldest, who walks to school on his own, goes the same route, will I be in a position that I'm not thinking, is he looking properly, is he talking to his mates on what they did the day before, and so on? Is that going to cause any harm? The drawings that I've seen doesn't actually show how the lorry turns into Riversfield Drive with the cars that are parked on High Street and Riversfield. It shows it being turned on an empty road. And plus, they're proposing that they will be taking trade from the existing properties in the village. If that's the case, accepting this proposal for a building which may work or may not work, there's already 5 empty buildings in the whole village. Why can they not occupy one of those 5 if it is a convenience store that's needed in Roaster? And that's everything. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Edge.
Good afternoon.
Right, again, 3 minutes when you're ready.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, members. My name is Chris Edge, and I'm a planning consultant for Pegasus Planning Group. I'm speaking here on behalf of the applicants, SEP Properties. SEP are a developer that's worked with most of the convenience store operators over a number of years in bringing forward new convenience stores. The application site is located within the settlement boundary of the village, and the local plan identifies a need for additional convenience floor space within rural centres such as Roaster. The proposed development is of an appropriate scale and would help to meet this need. The application site is not designated as open space, nor is it part of any other restrictive land use that would prevent development of some form coming forward. The impact assessment submitted in support of this planning application concluded that there will not be a significant adverse impact on other shops within Roaster. This conclusion has been supported by your planning officer. We have been working with the council to bring forward a well-designed proposal. This includes a pre-application meeting in September 2021 and the subsequent pre-application advice which was received in December 2021, following which there has been a period of almost 12 months during the determination process dealing with the technical and design-related matters. Members will note that the proposed convenience store is not of a standard design, and it has evolved over a period of time, taking on board the site-specific constraints such as the adjacent listed building and the site's location within the conservation area. The conservation officer provided comments at the pre-application stage and during the determination of this planning application, which were included in the design, and no objection is raised on heritage grounds. On highways matters, the proposal includes 14 car parking spaces and 10 cycle spaces. There is pedestrian access from High Street directly into the proposed shop, which means shoppers arriving on foot will not have to walk through the car park. Deliveries will be managed within the car park and subject to a delivery and servicing management plan, which will be conditioned and enforceable by the council if it is not adhered to. Parking demand is assessed to be approximately 10 spaces, which is based on experience elsewhere. The short dwell time of shoppers of up to 8 minutes means each parking space can be reused several times an hour. Even in the unlikely event that there is overspill, shoppers will either leave, come back another time, shop elsewhere, or park legally on street or in the car park opposite. To compensate for the loss of biodiversity within the site, the applicant has agreed to a financial contribution for tree planting within Roaster. This will be secured by a legal agreement. Hours of opening and deliveries will be secured by condition, and details of the proposed plant must be submitted prior to any plant being installed. This includes the requirement for a noise impact assessment too. All of this will control the impact on residential amenity. As a result, we respectfully request that members approve this planning application in line with the officer's recommendation. In doing so, it will provide a modern convenience store for the benefit of shoppers within Roaster and the surrounding area. Thank you.
And thank you for your comments. And finally, we have Councillor Steve Sankey. Good afternoon, Councillor. Right, you have 3 minutes when you're ready.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you. This application is a difficult one. It's created division within the village, and with some residents supporting it and many against it. And it's a sign that the fact there's over 30 objections raised to this. I have just 3 points to make around the application. The first one, the idea that 3 convenience stores in a village is a sensible planning approach is plain wrong, or using my technical term, nuts. I would ask members to look at some of the council policies, in particular sequential development, to see if changes can be made to consider circumstances. I understand sequential development isn't appropriate as it's written in your policies now, but it does question why we need three that, and I would be very interested to know where we've identified more demand for convenience stores in a village. Second point, proposal asks for Class E approval, which is wide-ranging. I was asked the committee to restrict the approval to the appropriate subclass. If a different development takes place at a later date, then they could seek further approval. I did note that this is mentioned in point 10.12, that you do say that it is recommended that you do go to the points A and B, subclass A and B, and I would hope that the committee would actually support that approach. My final point is around traffic situation, and I think people have raised that on a number of occasions. The traffic situation around this land is poor, made worse by lots of JCB staff parking throughout the village and the narrow roads around the site. This causes no end of stress and problems within the village, lots of issues with cars being damaged. The police have been called on several occasions, so actually increasing that by actually more of this is not going to make it worse. Local residents have genuine concerns about planning traffic issues, and I would ask the committee to defer this application for a month and ask the highways to attend and explain how they would address these genuine concerns. For example, although we talk in section 10.11, says there's no concerns of overspill car parking, technically this is correct. The roads are not, have got no yellow lines on, and there is a car park in the village. However, they're all full of JCB cars. So I don't see how that is actually a valid one. I genuinely believe that it is essential that we have a detailed review of the traffic situation and how our vehicles get in and out of this to reassure residents that it's a viable application. There is genuine problems. That listed building mentioned has had its wall damaged stroke knocked down three times in the last few years because of large vehicles. So I really think there's a major traffic problem that the county doesn't address in Roaster. They've had raised issues around people parking on double yellow lines, and they've not responded to it on several occasions. They have done very little in terms of addressing on-street parking within the village. So I would ask if you consider deferring this and get a detailed review of the planning and traffic implications. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Fankey. Okay, so any points that we want to clarify from our discussion so far?
Okay. In terms of the points raised in relation to noise, there is a condition proposed in terms of the plant equipment to ensure that any plant equipment that's installed is submitted to and approved in writing before installation on the site to ensure that there's no adverse impact to neighbouring properties from that plant equipment being situated on that single storey element of the roof. Another point was raised in terms of ecology and net loss. That is referred to in the report, and whilst it is regrettable that it's not possible to provide any additional planting within the site, we did look at green roofs during the course of the application, but because of where the plant equipment needs to be sited, it wasn't possible to include this in this application. So that has been secured or would be secured via a Section 106 legal agreement to ensure no net loss in terms of habitat. Yeah, there would be a net gain. So there'd be a net gain from that, but there would also be planting within the application site. And the Class E point, there is a restriction proposed in the conditions, but that further restricts it. I think Roaster Parish Council had referred to restricting it to classes A, subsections A and B, but A and B would be retail and cafe/restaurant, and it was felt that use could bring additional parking, so it's the proposal is to restrict it to subsection E, A, sorry, class EA only.
Okay, as we've had some highways topics discussed, Mark, would you like to come forward and bring me some detail on some of those points that have been raised?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of, I think one of the first points was the comparison with your parking standards. I think the decision that we've looked at in this site is your standards for car parking based on the floor area, and the proposal that the applicant is giving are different, and we don't deny that. The applicant has given details of how their model works for their operation of their site, and I can think of two co-op stores similar size to this where I live, which I use regularly, because one of them's got a post office, for example, within it. And the dwell time, from my own experience in my local co-ops, is short. Two of my local co-ops have very little parking compared to this site. So the decision that we look at in terms of this site was, yes, there is a difference between your parking standards and what is being provided. The applicant has provided some evidence of their model. The planning officer has stated that they, if permission was granted, would restrict the use of the site in terms of any other uses that would come along. So we took the decision, the appraisal to the decision, that based on the evidence in front of us in terms of car parking and the model and our own experience of convenience stores, Tesco Expresses, etc., that we've approved elsewhere in the county, that we thought this would work. Now, that is our opinion. Whether you agree with that, that's here to debate. But that was our opinion. Obviously, that opinion and that professional decision is based on other issues that we've said about highway safety. Obviously, the high street does have on-street parking. It has got a bus stop nearby, as people have stated. I did a site visit on Sunday. Obviously, I've got nothing else better to do. I did a site visit on Sunday because generally Sundays, obviously I know it's not a working day, but you can get a lot of residential parking taking place rather than in the week because people have gone to work. In terms of exiting the site and turning obviously left or right onto High Street, the junction visibility is quite good, whether that be obviously in a car, obviously in HGV you're even further forward to the stop line. So in terms of leaving onto High Street, again, we don't think there's a problem in terms of the size of the junction and manoeuvring. Obviously part of that junction and High Street is protected by double yellow lines, so that would aid manoeuvring of a vehicle. Obviously, we do have a construction management plan condition, and again, this is where the word compromise may come in, whether you agree is another matter as a committee, is the vehicle for deliveries does require 4 car parking spaces to not be in use to allow the delivery vehicle to get in. Hence, we requested as a highway authority for the deliveries to take place outside of store opening hours. Obviously, you've heard from the planning officer that environmental health objected to that. So there is now a compromise with regards to a management plan being requested by the operator. Obviously, we don't have that in front of us now. That is a planning condition to be put forward and a document to be produced. So in order for the deliveries to take place, 4 car parking spaces have to be available to get the lorry in, as shown within the application. Now, obviously, if a smaller lorry was allowed into the site, that would be easier. But obviously, what we have in front of us is a larger lorry. So that is the compromise that we have accepted. We believe it's doable. Hence, we've not said no at this present moment in time. But as ever, no decision is easy. So our, in summary, decision we on based on other models around the county, with co-ops, Tesco Expresses, etc., we believe there would be sufficient on-site parking. We believe the junction and the visibility displays are adequate. Obviously, the compromise here, from our point of view, is the delivery of the vehicles. We recommended it outside of opening hours. And the compromise is a plan that the operator must produce to make sure that those deliveries can take place. Happy to take other questions as we go along.
Thank you, Mark. So I'll open this up to the floor then. And who would like to start? Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, regarding Roaster, I mean, I never looked this morning. What is the WL lines outside the store or down that road at all to safeguard the access?
They are on High Street and they extend down towards the proposed access, but not to the proposed access, not directly outside the proposed access. But they do extend around the Bell Mouth.
Yeah, would there be a possibility to have the lines outside the store to stop anywhere to so you've got visibility coming out of a side road and also no parking on the front of it, or is that something that might be beyond your control?
Can you clarify, Councillor? Say again.
Outside the shop itself,
yes.
On the High Street,
yes.
Is it possible to have some sort of any restrictions on that stretch of road or not?
You can extend the yellow lines. That will require a traffic regulation order. A traffic regulation order is a process that has to be go through. There is no guarantee that the order will be granted. That's the only problem we have. It can be objected to, and if it's objected to and it fails. But you can extend and you can implement yellow lines, but it does require a traffic regulation order. And there is a cost to do that.
Yeah, so that is something that could be reviewed at a later date, depending on issues. Also, I mean, I never know whether I read this report, but I never saw anything about any charging point in the car park. Was it because it's only 8 minute stays, it's not feasible? Is that the reason behind that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know how long it takes to charge a car with all these new technologies, but it'll be longer than 8 minutes.
Yeah, I know some of the fast charging is about a quarter an hour, but perhaps it's not feasible in this situation.
No.
Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. I did have a few concerns about noise assessment. But I'm happy with the condition that's there in terms of making sure that any plant that is put in, there is a written agreement as to its noise specification. In terms of biodiversity, I'm not convinced that just planting trees is actually biodiversity. It's carbon capture and not biodiversity. And it's reduction of carbon emissions that planting trees actually does. It does it through sequestration. If we're talking about biodiversity, we need to be looking at introducing new species or existing species into an area where they no longer exist. And I think we need to be doing a little bit more than 10% biodiversity net gain, and perhaps at least doubling that, and making sure it is real diversity net gain and not just carbon capture that we're actually managing. If that could be written into the condition, please.
Would you like to come back?
The county ecologist was consulted on the application in terms of the biodiversity net gain issue, and the Section 106 legal agreement that we're proposing, it was the county ecologist that stated that would be in the form of tree planting, the reason being that the habitat that's lost from the site is trees. There's no other real habitat within the site to support any other protected species at the moment. So the county ecologist was happy with tree planting to be secured via the Section 106. That would obviously need to be off-site, and there's some tree planting within the landscaping scheme as well on site, but yes, it was to replace the existing habitat that's on the site.
Councillor Faulkner.
I'm afraid I'm not happy with that. I insist that we have something that is biodiversity net gain and not just tree planting. We need net gain biodiversity. Tree planting does not actually. I don't care what the ecological officer from county is saying. As portfolio holder for environment and climate change, I am saying we need net gain, which is at least 20%, and that is biodiversity net gain and not just carbon capture.
Okay, we'll look through and come back on that one. Councillor Legg.
Thank you. Two questions, please. I asked about the laurel hedge, and would it be able to be maintained both sides, as I think there was a fence going up, and... Second question was regarding the wall. We stood where the wall was going to be removed. Some of the wall looked in very poor condition under the ivy and the bottom three bricks near where the piece was being removed. Could we have some looking after of the wall, please, before it falls down?
At this point, I'd like to ask the agent to step forward, just so we can ask a very quick question. So in terms of maintenance of both the hedge and whether there would be access between the fencing and the hedge to obviously maintain both sides, and also maintenance of the wall, have you got something that you can reassurance on with those?
Yeah, I hope so. The wall will be maintained by the future occupier, basically. So whoever takes the shot, you know, they will have responsibility on the lease to maintain that wall. I'm sure it's not going to fall down, effectively.
In terms of the laurel hedge?
The laurel hedge.
Having the access to be able to get to both sides.
Yeah, so I did a little bit of research on this because it was a bit of a late question, but the hedge will be trimmed back on our side, and I understand that, although I'm not an arborist, the hedge can be trimmed quite well back, that the fence is then put, you know, maybe a metre in front of it, and I understand that you can have, again, I'm not an arborist, but you can have the fence relatively close to a hedge that is trimmed back, and then it will not stunt its growth completely, but on that side, the growth will only be so much such that it can be maintained on that side. I hope that helps.
Okay, Councillor Legg.
Pigeon English, arboricultural way.
Can I come back,
yes,
on,
please,
on the wall situation, please? The wall looks beautiful. It was a lovely wall. So there'll be no maintenance to the wall when the trees are removed then? Especially to... What was the road called? Where
it was
the
on
gap
Riversfield, yeah.
Is there some maintenance required now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I thought so, and I'm no expert.
Is that due to hedge roots, or tree roots?
It could be, yeah.
Well, I mean, I would have... Well, the wall will have to be made good and then maintained. So if there's an issue with substance or cracking with the wall, then it will have to be made good at the point in which the shop is developed effectively. The wall won't be allowed to, you know, dilapidate effectively. I think that's what you're asking.
Councillor Legg.
Can I condition then that the wall gets some maintenance?
Just bear with.
Condition 14, oh, sorry, condition 10, I think I need my eyes testing, does refer to all works of alteration and making good of the fabric of the boundary wall within the conditions that are in the report.
Happy with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that for us. Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. I think Roaster Parish Council should be commended for their terrific effort. I don't know if you've read, I know we've read all their full report. It was a massive piece of work on their part. And I have to follow some of Councillor Sankey's concerns about the three shops.
Okay.
And I mean, I was quite surprised, but it does say in the National Planning Policy Framework, paragraph 88, that there's no sequential tests on small scale shops in rural development. So, you know, obviously it's not part of that. But I was surprised, following on from that, to read in the proposal from the developer, as a result of this, and given the low turnover of the proposed development, it is not expected there will be any significant trade draw. Well, what the hell's the point in putting a shop there in the first place, I thought, you know, but that's by the by. What was I going to argue about? Well, that was the retail assessment, and I think we've got to bear all these things in mind, haven't we? But I think in the overall look of it, I can't see any grounds on which we could refuse it. So that's what I'm thinking at the minute.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Barker.
Just responding to Councillor Barker, yeah, you're correct. The sequential test wasn't required in this case because the floor area of the unit was beneath the threshold for that. And in relation to Councillor Faulkner's questions, within the report at paragraph 15.16, there is details of the hedges, the landscaping scheme, and any ecological enhancements within the site that are proposed. If I just read that out, it says the landscaping scheme submitted provides a schedule of planting which is considered to be acceptable and retains hedges within the site with new native hedge planting. I would just point out that the county ecologist stated that that would result in a 0.2 increase in habitat. And indicates new tree planting and further ecology enhancements, including bat and bird boxes, including a sparrow terrace, the creation of two log piles created from the tree removal, one of which is to include a hedgehog dome, and that the ecological enhancement measures in conjunction with the off-site contribution are considered to be sufficient to offset the loss of trees and habitat within the site.
Councillor Faulkner.
I agree entirely, but all it says at the start is provides opportunities, and what I'm saying is it's a necessity and not just an opportunity, please.
The Section 106 would secure the monies to provide those off-site habitat enhancements, and it is regrettable that it can't be done within the site. But because of the constraints of the site, that's the reasoning behind the Section 106 to secure the net gain.
I fully understand that. What I'm saying is that where we're offsetting this, I want that section there, 15.16, to read, doesn't read provides opportunities, but actually makes sure we get ecological enhancement measures, which will include all of those things that are there. It's not strong enough is what I'm saying, that opportunities can be actually turned down and not actually turned into an action. I want these to be actions, and I want that wording to actually reflect that.
I think in this case we are going for biodiversity net gain. It's just not on the site, you know, the applicant's
I don't care where it is, as long as it's close by, and we know that, as was said this morning, we've got JCB with huge swathes of land that we can actually put this kind of thing. What I'm saying is we must include all of these things that are in there and not just provide the opportunity. And I know it's not going to go on the site, but you can actually do it off-site, very close.
Lisa?
Everything that's listed within that section, I think the only thing that's not provided within the site is the green walls, which wasn't possible in this site. The enhancement of the existing hedges, planting of additional hedgerows, trees, wildflower planting is contained within the landscaping scheme within the site, including bat and bird friendly wildlife planting, and it incorporates bat and bird boxes and hedgehog, in this case it's a hedgehog dome rather than a gap, so the only one thing that's mentioned within that is the green wall, which wasn't possible to get in the scheme.
If I fully understand this, what I'm saying is this, the wording of that condition is not strong enough. Provides opportunities is not strong enough. We need action, not just providing opportunities. Okay?
The section we were reading was from the report itself. It wasn't actually the condition.
It's from the report, section 15.16, section 4.4 of the PEA provides opportunities. I want that to read, we will take those actions and not just provide the opportunities.
So that, in terms of the condition itself...
That is contained within condition 23, which states the ecological enhancement measure detailed on the approved landscaping plan shall be installed prior to the first use of any part of the development. And then obviously the section 106 would separately secure the other details.
I'm going to give Councillor Faulkner a chance to look at that and open it up again. Yeah. I've got Councillor Toon and then Councillor Barker as well as Councillor Legg. So Councillor Toon.
So are you actually saying that back boxes, etc., will be on site, hedgehog domes will be actually on the site?
Yeah, sorry. I was just double-checking the wording in the, that. But yes, the landscaping plan indicates new bat and bird boxes, sparrow terrace and a hedgehog dome to be provided on the site.
Yes, I was merely trying to help out with Councillor Faulkner by just getting rid of the word... opportunities. If you just got rid of the word opportunities out of the whole thing, it just says you provide them and that's all there is to it really, and we're all thinking on the same grounds, it's just a matter of wording it right. And when you get to the conditions, it's there anyway, so that's fine, thank you.
Councillor Legg.
Sorry if I missed it while you went through your list. I didn't hear bee bricks, please. I'd like some bee bricks. And also, could you bring the picture up of the plan of the development, please? I'd like to ask about that.
So the two large shop front windows are on the side facing into the car park. The front elevation, which is like the terrace to houses, they look like, that faces onto High Street.
Right. So where in relation is the wall going to be, and will there be enough room to maintain the wall?
The wall is around the car park and is 2.4 metres away from the building at its closest point.
The
side boundary would be right very close to the boundary with the access track, and it's quite close to the fencing at the back as well, but I don't know the exact dimension.
Can I call on the agent again, please? Okay. So in terms of the access from the side road, so is there something restricting people being able to access the site from further down?
Yeah. Is there nothing marked on the plan at the moment?
Doesn't appear like it, no.
There is a fence which runs along that southern boundary, isn't there, which is what we were talking about in terms of the laurel hedge. I think the assumption is that that would then run alongside that boundary up to the corner of the building. If it's not shown, apologies. And to the front as well. The rest of the boundary treatment is the brick wall, the boundary wall effectively along the High Street, Riversfield Drive. So I think it's so two sides.
In terms of access then, you just have open access at the front for pedestrians.
Yeah.
And then vehicular access coming off at Riversfield Drive. Everywhere else will have a boundary treatment going round.
The intention is not to have access around the whole of the building, no.
This is what I'm asking for, because it would be owner of antisocial behaviour.
Yeah.
It's at people's side. So can we make sure there's something that everybody feels secure with?
Absolutely. Yeah, the intention isn't to have a sort of circulatory around the building. It's, you know, in through the brick wall at the front, vehicles in through Riversfield, and that's it, basically. So there's no sort of, you know, down the lane and in around the back and that kind of stuff. So no, there's no other access, pedestrian access into the site.
So you're telling me people cannot access the rear of the building?
That's the plan. Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Lisa, did you want to add anything onto that point then?
In relation to that boundary, it isn't shown on the approved plan, and there is a condition for boundary treatments to be implemented, but that details with what's shown on the approved plan. So you may need to deal with that via a separate condition if that's something that you feel strongly about.
Councillor Legg.
Can I condition that, please? With the officer's input, thank you.
Yes, we have I think it'll be a standalone new condition just for that boundary treatment in that location and possibly there and at the top there. But yeah, if members want to move that motion and take a vote on that, we can do that now.
Question first. Can I make sure that all boundary treatments are treatable, please?
Okay. So, thank you so much, Agent. Thank you. So we have Councillor Legg putting forward a proposal for a motion to include a new condition with regards to the boundary treatment at specific points along the site. Can I have a seconder for that, please? Councillor McKiernan. Okay. So all those in favour of adding the new condition for the additional boundary treatments around the site to maintain security? Okay. So that has been approved to add in as a condition.
And if members are minded to make reference to B bricks, again, if someone wants to put forward a motion, we could amend Condition 23, the existing ecological enhancement measure condition, to specifically make reference to B bricks.
Councillor Legg.
Can I have them conditioned as well, please, to make sure they're in place? Thank you.
Okay. So we have a proposal then put forward to add in the addition of B bricks where possible, seconded by Councillor Faulkner. Yeah. So that's going to wording going into that. Councillor Legg?
It's possible, please. We would like them, yes. Definitely.
Okay. I will not have if possible in there. It will be B bricks, but it will be used on site. Okay, so we have the officers putting extra wording in there. Would you like to repeat that before we go to a vote?
So the condition would read, the ecological enhancement measures detailed on the approved landscaping scheme plan listed under condition to above and the use of B bricks within the structure of the building hereby approved shall be installed prior to the first use of any part of the development and thereafter made available at all times for their designated purposes.
Happy with that. So I will go to a vote to have that amendment in place then, please. All in favour? So that has been carried. That will be added in. Okay, do we have any further discussion on this then, please? Okay, Councillor McKiernan.
Maybe it's me being confused, but can we just clarify what is the view from the High Street? Because I can see that. Go back to that picture where you were. It's what's in front of it. The diagram that you just had up. That pink bit at the top. I'm calling it pink, where it says deliveries. What I can see is the building, the terrace-looking building, but then in front of it, you seem to have a passageway where deliveries are going to be, and then is that the wall in front of it?
So what? Yes, that is the wall.
What is the view from the High Street? The actual view. You're going to see a wall.
There is the wall in front of it.
Possibly a lorry delivering, and then the terrace behind it.
There would be no lorries along there. The lorries would park within the car park area. There's a section of boundary wall that's being removed, which is for pedestrian access only. So the lorries would take their deliveries along that area that you've mentioned that's highlighted, sort of a pinky brown, yeah. They deliver in down that area, which is hard standing, into the building. And then the boundary wall to the front, the first two sections of it would remain, with two sections removed for the pedestrian access.
Right, so those openings there, are they the doors of the terrace?
Yeah. Yes.
Right, okay, I get it.
So in theory, that's where all the goods would go in, not on that one. Okay, any further questions, comments that we want to raise at this point? No? Then I would like to put forward the motion that we accept this and permit the application in terms of the conditions we have raised today, with the two alterations to be added in. Can I have a seconder for that then, please? Councillor Ashcroft? All those in favour, please. Thank you. That has been permitted then. So what I would like to have at this moment is another quick break so that we can bring our officers in and swap over for the next planning. Hours permitted time, I would like to propose that we suspend standing orders to allow us to continue with this meeting. It's because we have got our solicitor online. We just hear some noise every now and again. So I would like to propose that we suspend. Can I have a seconder for that, please? Councillor Barker. All those in favour? Okay. So thankfully we can continue with this. So, we will move on to our third application then, which I will hand over to Emily to present, please.
Thank you, Chair. So, this is application P 2021-00868 for land-bound... So this is application P 2021-00868 for land bound by Tutbury Road, Rolston Road and Hare Hedge Lane. This is a hybrid application consisting of an outline proposal for 500 dwellings, specialist accommodation, a local centre and associated works. In this respect, all matters are reserved apart from access. It also includes a full element, which are the proposed access points to the aforementioned development and a spine road between Tutbury Road and Rolston Road. I refer members to the update sheet, which clarifies a typo within the committee report. This is where Beam Hill Road should read Ralston Road at paragraphs 1.3, 2.3, 4.3 and 12.8. I also refer members to the appended comments of Councillor Lamb, which were handed out in full this morning, and details of a further neighbour representation received, which shall be addressed further within the presentation. The site that this application refers to, is shown on this plan, is land bound by Harehedge Lane to the south, Ralston Road to the east and Tetbury Road to the west. As you can see, the application site is fully within the settlement boundary of Burton-upon-Trent and is also allocated within the local plan as a sustainable urban extension. The site lies within the neighbourhood plan areas of both Outwoods and Ralston. Members may remember that outline consent was previously granted at this site in December 2016, with one subsequent reserve matters application being approved in January 2019 for a similar development. The site formerly belonged to Staffordshire County Council, however Homes England have since purchased the site and are the applicants for this application. The former permissions have since lapsed. There are some differences in the approaches between the schemes, particularly in terms of highway works, which will be highlighted later in this presentation, and which is why Mark Evans from County Highways is here to answer any questions which may be asked. In respect of the outline element of the application, the following is proposed. Up to 500 affordable and market housing, a local centre buildings of up to a total footprint of 500 square metres, comprising retail uses, of which a minimum floor space would be secured by condition to ensure that a retail use does come forward at the site. Other uses that could come forward to complement the retail use include those for the sale of food and drink, but not hot food takeaways due to the close proximity to schools, financial or professional services, indoor sport, recreation or fitness, medical or health services, or offices to carry out operational or administrative functions. Approximately 5.46 hectares of multifunctional green and blue infrastructure are proposed. This would include tree retention and planting, native woodland to the northern rural edge, a local equipped area of play, incidental play areas and suds. Specialist accommodation for the elderly would also be provided on land adjacent to Tutbury Road. As previously mentioned, a new junction of Harehedge Lane is proposed. This would serve the local centre and community car park, which would be delivered off this new access by the first occupation of the 50th dwelling on the development. Condition 32 requires details of management and maintenance, as well as a minimum number of 36 car parking spaces to be provided. The applicants have provided an illustrative master plan to show how the proposals could be assimilated into the locality whilst meeting the policy requirements of the local plan, neighbourhood plans and the relevant SPDs. You can see how the spine road runs through the northern end of the site, the specialist accommodation to Tutbury Road and the local centre and community car park served off the proposed access to Harehedge Lane. This plan shows how reserve matters applications could come forward, providing suds to the southeastern corner of the site, with green infrastructure running through the centre of the site, woodland buffer to the north with approximately 300 dwellings to the southern portion of the site and 200 to the northern. In addition to the illustrative master plan, the applicant has provided some illustrative visuals to show how the proposals could come forward as part of reserve matters applications. This visual looks towards the northwest of the site. It shows the suds, local centre and community and local centre car park in the foreground. Whilst this one looks towards the southeast of the site, showing the specialist accommodation, spine road, along with green buffer to the northern boundary of the site. In respect to the full element of this application, this refers to the proposed 6.5 metre wide spine road running through the northern area of the site, as shown on this plan. The works would also include a ghost island priority junction on Tutbury Road to access the spine road, a simple priority junction on Ralston Road located to the east of the site, a simple priority junction on Harehedge Lane located to the south of the site, As part of the application, off-site highway works are proposed in the form of improvements to the Hare Hedge Lane, Bitham Lane Junction, which are to be delivered via a Section 106 agreement, with details to be approved at a later stage, as required by Condition 34. Taking you through some photographs of the site. Photograph 1 and 2, both taken from Hare Hedge Lane. Looking north into the site. Two, looking to the western corner of the site with dwellings in Wilson Way shown in the background. Photograph 3, looking north from Hare Hedge Lane, showing the boundary with Rolston Road. Photograph 4, looking to the eastern boundary with dwellings visible on Rolston Road. Photograph 5, from Hare Hedge Lane, looking towards Rolston Road and the northern boundary of the site. Photograph 6, looking east along Hare Hedge Lane with Wilson Way shown to the left-hand side. Photograph 7, looking to the northern boundary taken from Tutbury Road, with the dwelling Homecroft visible to the left-hand side. Photograph 8, looking east from Tutbury Road, showing the entrance to St Modwin's School on the right. Photograph 9, looking north along Tutbury Road. Photograph 10, looking south along Tutbury Road. And photograph 11, looking towards the southeastern corner from Tutbury Road with St Modwin's School shown to the right-hand side. As per this slide, and as members will be aware from the committee report, there are no objections in principle from any statutory consultees. Members will be aware that Councillor Lamb raised detailed comments in relation to highway safety as per the committee report, and which he and a resident remain concerned about as reported on the updates sheet, which has now been handed out in full to members. Matters relating to highways will be addressed later on in this presentation. Moving on to representations made during the course of the application. Outwood, Stretton and Rolston Parish Councils all made comments on the application, with the main concerns relating to highway safety, lack of community facilities, impact on existing residential amenity and the proposed use of the care home. Members will be aware full details are in the committee report at section 6. 51 letters of objection were received from neighbours, although it is noted that some letters did include positive comments about the proposals. Objections were received on the basis of principle of the proposals, impact on residential amenity, highways impacts, flooding and drainage concerns, open space and sports provision, local centre uses and engagement of Homes England prior to the submission of this application. Again, as members will be aware, full details of these are in the committee report at section 6. So in terms of relevant policies in the determination of this application, these are the local plan, Rolston and Outwood's neighbourhood plans, and the following SPDs: car parking, housing choice, climate change, design guide, open spaces and playing pitches, planning obligations, and waste storage and collection. Moving on to the assessment of the application. In respect of principle, the application site is within the settlement boundary of Burton upon Trent and is also allocated as a sustainable urban extension. Permission for a similar proposal was previously granted on the site, but this has now lapsed. At this point, I remind members that full planning permission relates to the Spine Road and access to Hare Hedge Lane only. Therefore, matters relating to both visual and residential amenity are to be considered within future reserve matters applications. However, the submissions indicate that development could be progressed to provide the level of work supplied for our outline stage, as was shown to you in the illustrative master plan. Conditions in relation to noise and air pollution mitigation are included in conditions 15, 16 and 17 in the interest of protecting future and existing residential amenity. Informatives also advise the applicant in respect of future layouts, landscaping, parking provision, in order to achieve a future development which would meet the relevant visual and residential amenity policies of the local plan and associated SPDs. It is considered that highways matters are at the forefront of the issues raised by by the parish councils, local residents and Councillor Lamb. The application has been subject to some 17 months of interrogation in terms of the proposal's likely impacts on the strategic and local highway networks. National Highways do not raise any objection to the proposals. Modelling has been undertaken, and unlike the previous scheme, no works to the A38 Claymills Junction are being asked for. In terms of the local network, members are advised the previous scheme included provision of an access of Tutbury Road and Ralston Road, roundabout creation on Tutbury Road, and two mini roundabouts at the junction of Harehedge Lane and Ralston Road, as well as a community car park, as shown on this plan. The County Highways Authority do not raise any concern about the impact of the proposals, which now comprise the Spine Road, access off Harehedge Lane, which will serve the local centre community car park and link into the Spine Road within the development. There are a number of conditions relating to highways, including the relevant highway works in connection with the provision of the Spine Road, along with off-site works to the access points, improvement works to Harehedge Lane, Bitham Lane. Traffic calming measures will also be secured to the proposed Spine Road. As previously stated, a condition would also ensure that there is suitable infrastructure in place, i.e. community car park and junction improvements brought forward prior to substantial amounts of housing being occupied on site. Again, Mark from County Highways is here if members have any specific questions in relation to highways following this presentation. In respect of the historic environment, it is recognised that the site contains a number of historic hedgerows, which were pointed out on site earlier, and an informative is included to ensure that as far as possible these are assimilated into any future Reserve Matters applications. In respect of flooding and drainage, the site lies within Flood Zone 1, and therefore the site is at a low risk of flooding. There are a number of surface water flow paths and areas of accumulation across the site, with the northeast and southeast corners at high risk of this. And these are areas to be incorporated into SUDS features. Again, these were shown on the illustrative master plan. A new drainage network would be installed, which would require additional information to be submitted to and approved by the local planning authority. As previously stated, no objection has been raised by the local lead flood authority, Environment Agency or Severn Trent, subject to safeguarding conditions, which can be found in the committee report at conditions number 24 to 26 and 43. As members will be aware from the committee report in respect of biodiversity and trees, various detailed reports were submitted, and following consultation with the county ecologist and NUT officer, as well as the tree officer, no objection has been raised, subject to safeguarding conditions. An informative has been added in respect of any tree planting to be heavy standard to reflect the adjacent National Forest and comments of the National Forest Company. In respect of open space, the size of the development would require 4.47 hectares of open space. The illustrative master plan shows how this would be achieved through areas of parkland, informal play areas, woodland planting, a local equipped area of play and pedestrian and cycle links. In respect of a sports provision, a financial contribution is to be secured through a legal agreement. It is considered that there is scope for some on-site provision for older children and teenagers as part of the Reserve Matters applications, and there is also potential for a contribution towards the recently approved playing pitch at St Bodmin School. This contribution and other Section 106 agreements are shown within the committee report at Section 22 and are also in this table. As you can see, contributions are sought towards healthcare, education, waste storage, sports facilities and off-site highway works, travel plan monitoring and open space management. So in conclusion, officers consider that the proposal complies with the local plan, MPPF, and Ralston and Outwood's neighbourhood plans and the SPDs previously stated. All relevant consultations with statutory consultees have been carried out and they raise no objections, subject to safeguarding conditions and obligations to be secured by a Section 106 agreement. Therefore, on this basis, the recommendation is for approval as per the conditions of the report and subject to the relevant Section 106 legal agreement.
Thank you, Emily, for that. So we'll open up our public speaking part. And our first speaker is Mr. Ken Salmon, please. That's what I've got on here.
Tin.
Tin.
I apologise, there is obviously a big typo one here.
Thank you. Can I just correct your one fact there? As well as being a local resident, I'm chairman of Rolston Civic Trust, okay, and we definitely did object to this plan. It said no objection up there, and we definitely did. Okay, can I just say, my concern's mainly about infrastructure and road safety. The 500 houses that are going to be built here, in addition to the 1,500 that are already going to be built up and outwards and have already started on either side of Beam Hill, that's 2,000 new houses in a one-mile radius. That's going to put an awful lot of stress and strain on local infrastructure. I appreciate what you've put about medical centre. I didn't know that was there. But the stress that's going to create in that particular area is going to be horrendous. I don't know when you did your site visit, but if you did it any time on Harehedge Lane between 8 and 9, it's already traffic chaos. It's utter carnage down there and Bitham Lane. This proposal is only going to add to it. 500 new houses means potentially 1,000 new cars. It's going to be really, really problematic in terms of traffic on that side. The link road between Rolston Road and Tutbury Road is all very good, but I think because of the problems that you get on Hedge Lane, that's going to be used as a rat run. Traffic, delivery drivers, lorries, cars are going to come down that road and pass on through, try and shortcut to avoid Rolston Road. We'll go down Athelstan Way and down to Fountain School, where there are already considerable problems, or worse again for residents of Rolston, they will go through the village. And that's going to cause an awful lot of problems. And I don't buy the developers saying that people are going to take public transport and cycle. We know these people. They're going to go to the A38 and the A50. They're going to commute. So I think traffic is going to be one of the biggest problems. And as regards road safety, my house on Rolston Road, about 100 school children come up and down from Rolston Village every day walking on foot on the pavement. They have to cross Athelstan Way. Now, with the link road and the increased traffic down there, I think there is a severe problem of road safety, and some child is going to get injured. The speed limit on Rolston Road is 40 miles an hour from just outside Bitham Lane up until we hit the village. That needs to drop to 30, and I urge the committee to consider some sort of traffic calming, because it needs to have that to lessen the chance of an accident happening. And as I say, I have severe concerns about these school children. That something is going to happen. So road safety and infrastructure and traffic is going to be just horrendous, I'm afraid to say. Speaking to my colleague, I know he's going to speak soon, on behalf of the developer, they're talking about keeping the green boundary between Rolston Road and the development. I hope they will keep to that promise, because that's an important factor, I think, for local residents, not only on environmental but also of an aesthetic point of view as well. Okay, thank you for listening.
Thank you. My second public speaker I have is Mrs. Julia Allen, please. Good afternoon.
Would it be possible to put the second illustrative master plan on the screen, just to demonstrate to the committee where the property that I'll be talking about actually fits within the site?
Okay. Is that possible to do? And delegated planning permissions? Noted. Okay, we now move into the private part, and I would like to move that in according to, when I can find my script, in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. Right, we'll take a moment just to get our one member of the public out.